Open Door Community has served Atlanta's homeless population for 30 years, but lack of leadership, some gentrification, and rising maintenance costs has forced one of the city's longest-running shelters to close its doors. Open Door is not the only shelter that might close. Mayor Kasim Reed has pushed for years to close down Peachtree Pine Shelter as well. That's a massive shelter that can house more than 500 people. Recent closures over the past few years have raised questions about what happens to a city when resources for the homeless community dry up. And here to talk about that is Richard Cho. He's Director of Behavioral Health at the Council of State Governments Justice Center. And he also served as former Deputy Director on the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness. It's good to have you, Richard.
Great. Good to be here.
What research have we done? What kind of evidence do we have now about what ways cities can effectively deal with homeless citizens and which things don't work?
That's a great question. You know, I think if you really look at the different ways that communities have tried to respond to homelessness, you can really think about four different ways that they've done that. On the one hand, you have some communities who try to treat it like a charitable cause and where you see a lot of them focused on the kind of crisis services, homelessness shelters, food pantries, things like that. On the other hand, there's also a way to treat it like a pathology, and that's where people resort to thinking that they could treat people, kind of treat the underlying conditions and help them exit homelessness and sort of have them have to fix some of their underlying social and health problems before they can actually exit homelessness. Communities also sometimes treat it like a nuisance, and that's where you see them resorting to policing and law enforcement responses. That tend to kind of sweep the problem under the rug, ultimately pushing people into jail, which is not a long-term solution. And last, I think what we've seen to be most effective is where you treat it like what it is, which is a housing crisis and a public health crisis. And the communities, I think, that have used an approach where they provide targeted outreach to individuals who are in shelters or are living on the streets and connect them to permanent, affordable housing linked to social services that can help them keep that housing, that's proven time and time again and through research and evidence that it's the only real solution to homelessness.
We did reach out to Mayor Reed about the city's approach to homeless individuals and their families. They emailed us a lengthy statement. You can find the full thing at our Facebook page, but I want to read a portion of it. The mayor responded to the plans to replace the Pine Peachtree shelter, at least, and said, quote, putting a new facility at this location will enable emergency responders to reach nearly any destination within city limits in 14 minutes or less, a vital benchmark as we look back on the terror attacks in major cities over the past year. Mayor Reed has also stated the individuals at Peachtree Pine will be connected with resources. In fact, the community of homeless service providers in the city have established a plan to serve the individuals and families staying in that shelter. End quote. That's a portion of the statement from the city. But let's go back, Richard, to these four approaches that you mentioned. They were charity, which is when you treat homelessness like a crisis. Pathology, which is, I assume, when you start dealing with mental health services, especially when you deal with it as a nuisance or as a housing crisis. You said housing crisis is the best way to think of homelessness. And we spoke on this program about Utah's approach in terms of just building enough housing for everyone. Why is that the best way to look at homelessness?
Well, I think that when you look at some of the other approaches, when you focus on just providing crisis services, and let me be clear, you know, crisis services are absolutely critical. People who experience homelessness, they have immediate crisis needs. They have issues of hunger. They have issues of just needing to be away from the elements. You know, just providing those crisis services alone doesn't help them actually exit homelessness. In the same way, if you try to look at trying to provide people with treatment, either mental health treatment or treatment for drug and alcohol use before they actually exit homelessness. It's a little like, as somebody once put it, shooting an elephant with a BB gun. Essentially, you're trying to treat people's behavioral health conditions, but these folks don't have a stable place to live, and they don't have a stable life. And so thinking about how you can actually achieve recovery in a setting where you're still dealing with your sort of basic survival needs, and you don't even know where you're going to be from one day to the next, is sort of you know, like pushing a boulder up a hill. I think really what we found is that when places like Utah, but also places like New Orleans and Houston and many other cities across country have focused on providing people with housing first and then wrapping services around them as they need, and that could be services to help find a job or services to deal with drug or alcohol use or their mental health issues. But again, if you don't provide that stable platform of housing, a place where people can actually relax and actually start to tackle some of the other issues, it's really difficult to treat any other conditions. And so that housing-first approach has proven, I think, to be effective time and time again.
My guest is Richard Cho. He's Director of Behavioral Health at the Council of State Governments Justice Center. And yet there have been arguments made here in Atlanta and in other places as well that the more beds you build for a homeless population, the more homeless you will have. And I guess that's the theory behind if you build great services for homeless citizens, that people will be attracted to that city who are homeless. What is the actual evidence on that issue?
Yeah, the data is not clear on that. And I think a lot of communities around the country, Atlanta's not alone, in worrying about the fact that if you continue to provide more services, then you just create a draw for more people experiencing homelessness. You know, it's not proven to necessarily be the case. There have been cities that have had very unfriendly policies on homelessness, and they still see a rising rate of homelessness coming to their street. The truth is, I think majority of people who are experiencing homelessness, you know, there is some mobility among that population. But the truth is, most people go where they feel they have some connection to, either because of some history or because they had family members that they were in touch with that were close by. In other cases, they are moving to cities or to metropolitan locations because they know they can access some basic services there. But you see, when you look at the data on homelessness nationally, you actually see that it's pretty evenly distributed and reflective of the distribution of the overall U.S. population. You have homelessness in rural areas, you have homelessness in big cities, you have it in suburban towns. And so the idea that, you know, if you concentrate services in a big city, that's going to sort of draw everybody to the major city center. I don't know that there's a ton of evidence that really shows that that's the case.
How does economics fit into this? Many people have said that one of the reasons that Atlanta still has a large homeless population is because Atlanta is the major city with the largest rate of income inequality. And we certainly saw a rise in the number of homeless people and people needing emergency services during the Great Recession. So as the economy improves, can we expect the homeless crisis to abate?
You know, there's definitely a link between the larger economic situation and rates of homelessness. It's undeniable that, you know, I think the primary driver of homelessness rates is the lack of access to affordable housing. The sort of complicated thing is that we're talking about people who are at the very bottom of the housing market, people who are so in such poverty that for them they're really looking for rental housing that is of the cheapest variety. And so when you have larger economic forces that are driving up rents, what you have is a sort of a kind of down the road effect where the first people who experience that are the middle class. But as they get squeezed out and start to, less home ownership, they start to become more renters, that starts to create a trickle down pressure on the people who are at the lowest end of that housing market. And that's when you start to see rising rates of homelessness. With the rising economy, the unfortunate thing is that often also means that the housing market tends to go up, and with rising rents, you have even fewer rentals available apartments at the lower end of the market. And so just a rising economy doesn't always lift all boats in this case. This is a situation where...
Since you mentioned that, I just wanted to also mention that, you know, over the past few years, the amount of affordable housing has gone down by 5% every single year for the past 4 or 5 years in Atlanta. Does that mean there's a direct connection between the amount of affordable housing or do people, when they get evicted, when an apartment complex gets torn down, do they move on?
I think both happens, but the people who end up becoming homeless are not folks who are usually the ones who lose their rental housing for the first time. These are folks who've probably been on a downward spiral for quite some time, have been in economic crisis for quite some time, there is a sort of indirect and sort of down the road effect you see, but people who experience homelessness are the ones who their situation's been on decline for quite a while. It's never the case that the first eviction that they have lets them become homeless. People who do lose housing in that way, I think there's an effective solution, which is to provide them with that kind of emergency assistance to help them get back into housing. Because the more one eviction leads to a second eviction, leads to further housing instability, and those are the folks who are on the road to becoming homeless for the long term.
That's Richard Cho. He's Director of Behavioral Health at the Council of State Governments Justice Center. He also served as former Deputy Director on the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness. Richard, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.